This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And how much duct tape did it take to fix the sound barrier?
It was not easy because, you know, I got to get the right tape. Anyway, joining us is Jack Pelton, head of EAA. And there's a more official title, which I can't come up with.
The big cheese.
The big cheese. So how are you doing, Jack?
Oh, it's been great. Great to have everybody back and be at AirVenture and see you guys. I don't know where you guys were last year. I came in here at 9:30, like you said, and you weren't there.
We were ready
to go,
man.
2019 also didn't let me in here, so
we
got some catching up to do.
Oh, it's our fault now.
We got some catching up to do. I thought you guys, like, blackballed me or something.
No. Like no. Come on in anytime. We'll let you talk.
Jack, we'd sell key body organs to have you in here.
That's right. Yeah. We're schmoozing
and
for
a raise.
And I consider
myself your one fan. So that's it.
Exactly.
Well, your wife is our biggest fan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, it's been an amazing year. I mean, I've heard record numbers of aircraft arrivals and such.
The aircraft operations piece by Wednesday was well above anything we've seen before. It was amazing. There were 18,000 movements on the airport, which is incredible. And you know, we opened up the south with an additional 60 acres, and the goal was nobody gets turned away. That was my mantra for the last 2 years, and I failed in 19. People got turned away. This year, nobody's been turned away. We have one row left.
That's amazing.
That's it.
Yeah, that's cutting it close.
That's it, yeah.
Actually, if you were an engineer, you'd say, perfect.
When I was over in the Warbird area there with Vic Krause and his tram crew, I was stunned at the number of Warbirds this year. I have never seen that many in all my life. And I've been involved in air shows, various shapes and forms, since 85. This was extraordinary turnout from the Warbird community.
It was really beautiful. And then when we had the weather event on Wednesday.
No, that was the night show. Because it was.
Yeah, it was. And they departed to areas that were felt to be safer from a concern if there was wind or hail, and then came back first thing Thursday morning.
I got to say, I thought that was really classy that you guys opened the museum and sent buses out. Because I'm sure the bus drivers didn't want to be out either, but they were.
They were. So. And we had like 1,200 people show up in the museum. Yeah. And we really spent a lot of time after 2019, at the beginning of the event, we had the heavy weather concerns and we had some tornado warnings. So we put a plan in place well in advance that's documented, and it's kind of like a emergency management system. So we got a call at 2 o'clock on Wednesday from the weather folks, saying you got to cancel the show at 2 o'clock. I mean, cancel everything.
Oh my goodness!
And the sheriffs were panicking because they didn't know how to handle the traffic if everybody were to leave. So we engaged our plan. We flipped the switch on. It's got where we meet, what we do, decisions to be made, and kind of smartly marched through getting to a decision that actually 5 o'clock would be the right time, because that gave the 3 hours before the storm was to arrive that the sheriffs wanted to clean it up. And because they said it was going to arrive at 8 p.m. It ended up coming much later.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it didn't materialize to what it was north of us.
Well, apparently the switch that says turn on deflector shield, apparently that worked really well.
It did. Excuse me. But we have this interesting phenomenon called the Lake Winnebago split. And things move our way, and then it just splits to the north and south, and that happened again.
Yeah, we were watching it on the radar, and we were just like, man, we're going to get nailed. And then it mostly went around us.
And just to the, I guess that would be to the northwest of us, they're still out of power.
Oh, my goodness.
They had 70-mile-an-hour winds, heavy tree damage, big issues, and power is still out.
My son was, I have to say this, he was actually kind of funny because he was watching it and he's like, oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, look at this. Hey, there's a tornado. And I'm like, is it a confirmed tornado? He's like, it's a tornado. It's on the ground. And then he goes, and here's a picture of it. You know, it's like, how do you find this stuff so fast?
I'll tell you, I don't know what exactly he's using, but we every hour are on one or other or multiple apps comparing data because it's so important to our show for the safety of everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we were very proud that the buses ran. We got people off. We got people warned appropriately. And everyone commended us that you guys really had your act together, which feels really good.
You guys did. It's been a great year. I haven't seen too many problems at all.
I was wondering who came up with the idea in the emergency plan to pass out the bubble wrap for the B-51s.
Did you see that picture?
Oh, yeah.
There's been a couple of them, actually. And
there's a saran wrap shortage right now in Oshkosh. And I'm serious. They went to Target. They went to the and bought saran wrap like crazy, and people were putting foam and other things down and then using saran wrap to seal the wings of their planes in wow. some of their exhibits and other places.
Have you seen Scrappy?
Oh, yeah. I
that's incredible.
I'm good friends with the Pateys, and I've been following the progress and the design. And he, you know, he's given me some kind of the behind-the-scenes look at what he has designed, and it is absolutely incredible.
I hope he patents that wing design.
I still don't understand it. I was relating to him early in my career. Excuse me again. I should have brought a bottle of water. That I was on the MD-80 development program for the first MD-80, which was really a DC-9 wing, but it had a double-slotted leading-edge slat on it, which we had never done before. And the articulation and the kinematics to make that work was it was Rubik's Cube. It was a nightmare. And he's showing me what he's going to do, and I said, that's taking that and putting it on steroids. It's got more movements and shapes and than I have ever seen. These guys are just amazing what they do.
The level of thought that went into that. And, you know, he's like, oh, it's going to do this, it's going to do this. And, oh, by the way, I don't want the paint to scuff, so it's going to do this, too. It's like, how did you get all that together?
Yeah, you they they're incredible. I hope also he gets Draco back in the air.
I was wondering if he's trying to rebuild it. I think he should.
I've heard, I mean, he has the airplane. I think he's got Scrappy's the priority, and I think there's one other one right behind it that they're trying okay. to do.
Actually, I call it Propzilla because that's what when you look at that thing, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't think it flies. I think the Earth's afraid of it.
Well, Dave and I were looking at it the other night, and I said, this is the airplane Chuck Norris would fly.
Exactly. This is Chuck Norris's airplane. Oh, what an amazing. I hope to get him in here, but we haven't been able to yet. But just, and oh, by the way, it's going to have solar panels. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a welder. I'm like, oh, my God. I was actually talking to one of his crew, and they said they're planning a modification just for April. So I'll just put that out there. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. But it fundamentally is you are strapping an engine on right in front of your feet and then flying. It's going to be
hanging on for dear life,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, the performance is going to be incredible.
It's going to levitate straight up.
Yes,
you know,
it
third
is.
Floor, women's mm-hmm. wear.
Well, you know, we've talked about the aircraft and aircraft arrivals and everything. From our vantage point, we have never seen Camp Scholar as full as it is now. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing.
It has been, and what was interesting this year, in all areas, everybody came much earlier than we've ever seen in the past. So we saw, you know, we opened Scholar up a month ahead of time, and people were, they come and they, it's first come, first serve, stake out their campsites. And so right out, and that's right after the July 4th holiday. I'm out there riding around, and I thought, this place is just a bunch of stakes with yarn on it. There's no place left for anybody to go.
Right.
When we get to the end of July, I don't know where people are going to go. But it was that's when we had a really good feeling that we're going to be back in a good shape, that everybody's coming.
Well, I'm glad. Let's talk about the – oh, no, we'll save that for later. Somebody posted on Facebook, you probably saw it, it was like Camp Scholar opens, and it's one of these races where they're towing trailers and demolition derby.
They did it fast. It did one of those films that you put on the speed thing. That
yeah, yeah, like time. Yeah. Oh, it was hilarious. Anyway, everybody's been behaving so well. The crowds, you know, the other thing, place is still spotlessly clean.
Yep. It is.
That just amazes me every time.
Oh, and a fireworks show. I love the two nuclear bombs that they set off.
I'm glad you I'm glad you figured out. A lot of people they don't know what that really was, but the goal was to make it look like a nuclear bomb. And
yeah,
when they first did it in 2019, because we had Doc here, the B-29 flying, mm-hmm. and it was remarkable. But back to your, you know, the show's going and people are you know, really doing well. Probably the most important thing for me is it's been really safe, and that's been you know, knock on wood, that's been really good. So a good, safe event, you know, breeds confidence that it's not a scary place to fly in. It's the new NOTAM arrival procedure we put in place for 2020, but we decided to take a vacation that year and not have it. Best arrival procedure we have ever had. It's using much more waypoints and technology that people have with GPSs in the cockpit. now that people have ADS-B, so the control towers can see your N number and see you, and other airplanes can see you, when people are not following the NOTAM or trying to cut in line, they actually get called out. So the tower can say 99 Bravo Bravo, left turn to the back, go to another waypoint and get in line. And it's just been, it's been like a ballet as far as how it's been organized coming in.
You speak of the ballet. Last night we were across the field at a, at an event, and we were watching. It's like the air show was still going. And it's, it always reminded me of the old Bugs Bunny cartoon. As soon as the air show stops, it's like 37 airplanes pop up waiting to leave. Like, wow, how does that happen? It is always a pleasure having you here.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is Digital Dave.
And this is EAA Radio.